Well, definitely amen to that, and good morning again. Let's go ahead and get prepared as we get settled in. You've got your Bibles? Make your way, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, this morning. Having the Abide in Christ book will be helpful as well. We'll be taking a couple references from that this morning. And certainly a notebook. If the Lord gives anything, we want to make sure we retain that and have it available for his uses. Before we go to his word, Father, we just come before you. May it ever be, Lord, as you have been teaching us and as you do teach us. Father, I heard it in our brother's prayer this morning. May we hear from you. Father, I want to thank you that you bring us together in special ways and places with brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, in your presence. My humble request this morning is, Father, that you would speak all that your heart desires to us as a father speaks to his children. Father, we would receive it with the awareness, as much as you make possible, of your great love for us. And we would have no greater desire than just to remain, or as you clearly teach us, to abide in your love. Father, bring glory to yourself. Accomplish all of your will. Ask and thank you in faith. Amen. So let me direct your attention again to what I hope is a familiar passage by now. In John 15, beginning in verse 1, our Lord Jesus said to the 11 brothers that he chose and appointed that they should bear much fruit, the following: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That passage we've been studying for. Anybody know how long we've actually been doing this for at the Lord's direction? Since the beginning of the year, the timing was rather remarkable. Over 6 full months, 31 weeks, we're far closer to the end, would you agree, than we are to the beginning? And in this particular section, well, turn with me, if you will, if you have your Abide book present or one in front of you, to the 26th chapter. Now, by means of a quick review, we have noticed that the way the study is laid out, that beginning, well, in chapter 19, for 8 consecutive chapters, and for us now, then 8 consecutive weeks, the count is inclusive, the author has circled back, if you will, to doing an in-depth focus on John 15, 1 through 17. This is the last chapter in our study that focuses on these scriptures. We will continue. There is more that certainly inform us on abiding, but this is the last one on John 15, 1 through 17 in this study. And in this, well, man, is there a lot. And I hope, and if you have not, it's not too late, I would encourage you to listen to Wednesday's night's teaching, the in-depth study, as we went through the chapter by the Lord's leading. This morning, well, my hope and prayer is just to share with you, with the grace that he supplies, what he impressed upon me to share with all of us about the takeaway in this particular chapter. Chapter 26 is entitled, if you're looking at it, "And in Love to One Another." And it focuses on the 12th verse, which reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Obviously, it's the Word of God. There is much there. But since we just read through John 15, love seems to be quite emphasized, especially at the end. So we have to have an understanding of what the Lord means by love as he defines it, because that is exactly what he says, the way that he loved them. That's how we're supposed to love, not the way the world informs us or the way we want it to be and all of those things, but the way that Jesus does. And that's really the emphasis today. There was something that the Lord used in this particular study to really get my attention. We're going to get to it really quickly, but since we have our book opened here to chapter 26, you find it on page 159 if you're not there. Let me just read through the first little bit here again from the top. It's titled, "And in Love to One Another," quoting the scripture from John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, we have more scripture. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." There it is, the same way. "That you love one another as I have loved you." In other words, Jesus said, I've given you the example, and you're going to do it the same way. It all is based if we abide, right? But that's what's put forth. Our brother, the author, said, God became man. His love was in a human heart. It becomes the love between humans. So we understand love, as Jesus is talking about. It's not some abstract thing. It's the subject-object relationship. If you have someone who loves, you need someone to be loved. And he's talking about the way that we love, because that's it, right? I mean, we're studying Jesus with those 11 men, but does it not make sense that since our Father's directing us to study this, he wants us to do with each other what Jesus did with them? That's the example. If there's any doubt in your mind, if we want to think, well, you know, man, it's like some things were specific to the apostles, which is true, right? Jesus clarifies it in John 17. What he prayed for, he didn't pray for those alone, but those who would believe in them through their word, the very scriptures that the Lord gave us. So all who would believe in him, and if you're a Christian, that's you. Their example is our example. The teaching for them is the teaching for us. So to fill that back in, when we really get this, we're supposed to love one another the way that Father loved Jesus, the way that Jesus loved the disciples, that's going to be something really significant. How significant? Well, we've not quite made it to it. We're coming up really shortly here, but I didn't want us to lose that part. He comes right out of the gate with it. It becomes the love between humans still in this first paragraph. The love that fills heaven can be seen every day here on earth. Man, is this just like, you know, I don't know, Bible teaching poetry, or is that supposed to be a reality? I want people to actually see that, we could imagine the Lord is saying. Well, with who? With all believers is what he wants. Continuing on here in the second paragraph, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus often spoke of commandments. But love fulfills the law and includes all the others, which is why it's called his commandment. The new commandment. It's the evidence of the new covenant. Did you see that word that starts with E? Evidence. In other words, proof. Something that you can actually see. This is when theory becomes reality. Bible study becomes, well, God's love made manifest. It's the evidence. Look, they're doing it exactly like he, the Father, to Jesus. Jesus to them. Them to one another. Evidence of the new covenant. Of new life in Jesus Christ. It's the one convincing sign of a disciple. Obviously, I read that with some emphasis. The one. Now, there's a lot of signs. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Jesus certainly referred to that. But if you were to pick one, like the granddaddy, right? By this all men will know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. That's what our brother is referring to. That's what the Lord says. And we have it on good authority, his, the best authority. He doesn't change. So again, their brother said this, and by this point we can just say it's the one convincing sign of a disciple. So might we not reason together with the Lord if that is true, and we'll just start from the premise, isn't that true? How unconvincing would it be if that wasn't there? Well, I know we talk about this, but it's not really happening. Well, that's for you to judge with the Lord. But now some scriptures have been added in to kind of support the brother's position. By this all people will know that you are my disciple, referred to just a moment again from John 13:35, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe. In other words, those who don't know the Lord could see something real and undeniable from John 17:21, our Lord's prayer. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Right? Witnessing is and should be a big thing in the church. It is part of what the Lord said, you know, go and preach the gospel. But left to our own understanding, we look at this and say, well, let's find something important that the Lord said. Let's go out and, well, here's the thing. It's like, and then I go, it's like, well, here, you gotta love, and the people, you gotta see this, and you gotta do that. And wait a minute. All of this has to work together, abiding. And what we see in the Lord's process is that's not how the Lord does it, right? When the Lord doesn't just send out a little plant. First the plant starts out and then it grows to maturity. First the blade, then the stalk, then the head, the ear. When the ear is fully ripe, then it. So in other words, when the Lord saves somebody, he matures them. He brings them to himself. And just as Jesus was with the Father, just as Jesus taught other people, pray to the Lord of the harvest to be sent out into the harvest. And we see that. All of a sudden, it's not me trying to do the Lord's work. It's the Lord living his life through me. And I'm abiding. I'm remaining in him. And, well, witnessing happens. But would the Lord send any of us out to witness without the one greatest sign, according to this brother? Love? It's a question I hope is on the forefront of your mind. Now, so I just hear the message. I don't really like it. Just, here it is. No, that's not exactly how Jesus did this. Now, if you're with me on page 160, here's the thing. This is what the Lord arrested me with and caused the prayer and the seeking and the confirmation, and really forms the basis of everything we're going to share this morning that I hope we hear and take before the Lord for his confirmation. Our brother in the Lord said this. So again, it's not scripture, so you have to test it against scripture. For the Christian who wants perfect fellowship with Jesus, keeping this commandment is proof that he's abiding in him. Now, there's several aspects there. The first thing was that word wants. Now, love believes all things. We know that from 1 Corinthians 13, right? So I believe, and for me it's an established fact, that in the Spirit, who you are in the Spirit, you have the same desires as the Lord. And the Lord certainly wants this. But we know something else. As long as we're here, there's two natures. There's the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. There's still the old way, self-centered, well, self still there that can be responded to, but don't have to. Flesh isn't done down with this. So that word wants, is I just want it. Well, I want it. I say that a lot about, well, I want this, I want that. It's like, well, is it real? So you guys know, if you've been with us, that there's been some reviewing happening here in these other previous 25 chapters. Well, the Lord did something with me that he took my remembrance back even further than the first chapter. It was to the very introduction of the book. Something rather arresting was said. You find it at the very beginning of the book if you're holding on to the Abide book. It's in the introduction, so it doesn't have a page number and our numbers. It has the Roman numeral 7, the VII, if you will. So give you just a moment. It's only a couple pages. It's the second page of the introduction, if that's helpful for you. Roman numeral 7. The paragraph is at the top. It begins with living life to the fullest. So let me just read this and throw some emphasis in something, a question. See if this resonates. Does this get any traction with any of us here today? Unknown to us, editors of this book said the following: living life to the fullest in God is something we all aspire to. What does aspire mean? Set our sights on, we want to make it happen, we go after it, kind of thing. We all aspire to, and then, after the comma, or generally, just wish we had. If you just focus on that sentence in two parts, you understand what's being said. Christian, you're going to fall into one of two categories here. You're either going to wish you had it or you're going to go after it. Right? And I think that word want, right? Well, I want it. Really? Is it something that would be nice if I had it, or am I going after it? And then it continues, a close, continuous relationship with him is the culmination. It's the end of this. This is what the Lord is after, right? Continuous is abiding of our spiritual journey. But thinking and knowing about it and actually doing and living it is often where. Now, who are these people who said the following? Most of us. They don't know you. They don't know me. They don't know us. But yet they said most of us stall and lose our way. In the end, we opt. Can anybody give me another word for opt? Yeah, that's the one that jumps out at me. You may have noticed when I read through John 15 that there was a little extra emphasis on the word if in Jesus' words today. It's in there. If you didn't hear it, you can go back and see it. If you do, if it's in there a few times. Like in other words, maybe not, right? So here it is in the introduction, right? Let me read the whole sentence again. But thinking and knowing about it and actually doing and living it is often where most of us stall and lose our way. In the end, we opt or choose to lead mediocre Christian lives, hoping it's enough. And hoping in that case is like wishing. It's enough to for what? To fully please God? To bear much fruit? Fruit that remains? Or just to get to heaven? Well, if you're a Christian, that ticket's stamped. Right? Your citizenship is there. The trumpet's going to blow. The shout is going to come. The voice of an archangel, and we're going to go. Or we're going to die before that, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Either way. Right? So enough for what? Man, isn't this? This seems heavy. Don't worry. It's not meant to be. Right? But we have to see things clearly. Because there's something that prowls about like a roaring lion. Well, it's an enemy, right? Enemy of God, enemy of God's people, who would love nothing better and work nothing more effectively and say, listen, I am a Christian. I love the Lord. We're in a place with other Christians who love the Lord. We're opening his word. We're studying the very thing that he wants of abiding in this. So certainly we're good, right? Yeah, just come on. Let's get the guy at the top to say you're good. Well, the guy at the top is Jesus. So we've got to go by what he says. And he said those ifs. So that allows me to entertain this teaching and test it against scripture. And this, most of us stall and say, wow, that's concerning. In the end, we opt to lead mediocre Christian lives, hoping it's enough. But, that's always the great turnaround, isn't it? In scripture, it is. But if we look closely, Jesus uses a simple analogy with incredible ramifications and blessings if we can understand and follow it. And certainly, we can. That's the Lord's intention. That's why he gave it to them and recorded it for us and gave us his spirit. The only thing that remains is to find out, is this really truly happening amongst us? Right? Well, is what happening? Well, love. Oh, yeah. No, I love to study the Bible. No, love is as a fruit. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end, and that'll be kind of somewhat of a review of Wednesday again. But it's so important, because if we're hearing all this, it's like, wait a minute, man, the Lord says things that I just can't do. I can't make them happen. And it's like, yeah, I'm right there with you. None of us can. But what we need to remind ourselves, or let the Lord remind us, is does the Lord tell us anything that he can't make happen? That he doesn't want? Does he give a commandment and expect us to make it happen? No, that's not rest. That's us working hard, good intentions, trying and failing, and never experiencing the things that the Lord says are available for us. That's being on the wrong side of the if. So therefore, we study, as we said earlier, that we may understand and respond in faith and allow the Lord to produce the fruit. He's the vine, we're the branches, we abide, fruit happens. One of the fruits is, of course, love. Love is a fruit. How do we know that? Well, the Lord says it very clearly in Scripture. So let's look at these again as we direct our attention back to John 15. We see some interesting things. Let me pick it up in verse 9 this morning. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. There it is, right? There's something in it. It tells us this is a joyful experience. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Well, let me just point out to you the obvious. Verse 13 is very closely connected to verse 12. But verse 12 is where we need to spend a little bit of time this morning, because it gets us right through any misunderstanding we have, any deception anybody, including the enemy of God, would like to bring upon us. No, I kind of like some of the things that God does. Therefore, I'm loving it. No, it's really not what he's talking about. Earlier in our study, we've seen a lot of language given to, well, surrendering and forsaking and all of these other passages, right? And somehow is that really connected? What is the love that Jesus refers to in verse 12? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Two verses the Lord brought to my mind that I'm going to be sharing with all of us here this morning. And we find the first one from a recent study before our Abide study. When we went through Corinthians, you may remember this. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, this morning. which is a couple chapters too many, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll jump right to it, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, the Lord records the following: let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now, before we explore that a little bit, let me just ask, we'll keep our brains engaged, is that consistent with the example that Jesus set with how he lived his life, looking out for other people? What do you think? Did Jesus come down so others who needed what he was going to give, his life and salvation through the shed blood? Well, yes, absolutely. It's the model, right? We should follow in his steps. So here's this: let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Okay. Well, if God is looking for fruit, and drawing from Wednesday's study on the Lord's word, when Jesus was asked in the Gospels, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus responded what, brothers and sisters? Yeah, exactly. When you put them all together, all the synoptic Gospels together, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And Jesus went on to say, the second is like it, and it's part of it. You can't separate them. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We saw this Wednesday, right? On this, all the law, all the Old Testament, everything, God, that it hangs on that, right? So the first one there is, okay, loving God with everything I've got. Is that like some? No. Then the second part, love my neighbor as myself. So let's just do some practical things. Let's see how we're at. During the announcements, for the folks who are watching on the recording, I used a phrase, an unbiblical phrase, but really records biblical truth. The phrase is the following: for a Christian, the more prophetically aware you are — by that I mean the more you understand end times for the Lord's purpose — the more important abiding is going to be to you. For this reason, we know that abiding in Jesus alone produces much fruit that remains, by which our Father is glorified. So when he comes, we understand the lateness of the hour, the Lord's coming back, is there going to be much fruit? And I found that abiding will do that. Well, if the Lord is saying, this is a fruit, love, and it is, and I'll prove it to you scripturally in a moment. I think it's not love like I think. It's love like he is, and therefore did. And when I abide and yield, he produces in me and then through me. That's the only one that matters, right? And it's tied up with, well, the other's well-being. So I had an opportunity. You haven't yet, but now you will as you seek the Lord. Well, there's several things mentioned in there. Yeah. If you abide in my word, Jesus said earlier, right? But if my words abide in you, he said in John 5. Okay, I spent time in God's word. How much time did I spend thinking of you guys? Really? As much as what I got out of it? It has to be in there. How about prayer? Prayers were mentioned in John 15. This is part of the study. We need to think about this, because something very significant was said in our study here. Right? There's proof. There's evidence. 6 months into this study, 26 weeks of the Lord's week. Been talking about love a lot. What's it look like? Am I right where the Lord wants me to be? How often in my actions do I think of others, specifically you, my brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters wherever they are, but certainly this is the church he's called me to be, my great privilege. Wow. Well, you're in it. Is it as much as I'm seeking him for myself? Well, This is what the Lord revealed to me. It's like, maybe I don't quite have the abiding thing down yet. Certainly there's been some there, and anything is by his grace. But what we really need to take away in this is, how about us? Here's another one, and this is the point that many of us have heard a lot referenced. And you know what? Even a Christian in the flesh will never respond to this. And we'll look at why in Scripture in a moment. Let's turn to another place. Philippians, please, chapter 2. Beginning at the top of the chapter in Philippians chapter 2 is the therefore. Of course, it connects us to chapter 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, and if you know Christ, you can say, since there's consolation in Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. In other words, he's talking to a church that didn't all think the same thing. It's kind of like the Corinthian church there. We're all supposed to be together on something coming up, being of one accord, one mind. Well, here it comes. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Selfish ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition, nothing wrong with zeal, but to promote self, whatever you do in word or deed, let it be done to the glory of God. And as I'm loving the Lord, I'm loving others also. Or conceit, somehow thinking I'm better than anybody else, and certainly better than I am. That's not biblical humility. And that's what the Lord is saying. Let nothing, not most things or some things, let nothing be done. Now, everybody here is busted. And let's remember together, right, that God says there's no condemnation in Christ. What we're seeing is when this is the case, when we're not, we're simply walking in the flesh, the old man. This is the wood, hay, and stubble pile. This is not how I want to be found when the Lord comes back. And it's not the kind of fruit that will endure and bring him glory. So there's some examination going on here. Let's continue on a little bit further, please. But in lowliness of mind, that's what true biblical humility is, seeing ourselves as we are. Let each esteem or value others better than himself. It was an interesting study as you compare the original language, in other words, more significant, more important. There's not, now in this case, I'm not supposed to just consider you equal, love you like me, but even better. This, oh, come on. This, how do we get here in an abide study? Well, let me remind you a little bit. I'll flip back there. Keep looking at Philippians. Jesus said this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he just went there with it in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So here we are. One of these who would come later is one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul, same teaching from Jesus. He got one-on-one instruction. Is teaching them the things that those 11 learned face-to-face with Jesus. More proof that this is for all the church. Right? Let us esteem or value or determine more important others better. More important than me. Right? If somebody's going to get it, it's got to be you before me. Not just you with me, even. This is totally alien to the flesh. But this is who God is. This is what he produces in us. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, verse 5 brings in a key tie-in that takes us all the way back. We're not going to turn back to 1 Corinthians 10:24. That same word was used. Do you see it? Three letters. Three very important letters. Let. Let is different than make, right? It just means it's there. It wants to happen. All you have to do is allow it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That phrase always throws me because it's like old-timey English, but we know what it means. Hey, God himself, right? Because he was God. And I'm not taken anything from God by calling myself God. Jesus did that, right? When he walked. But even though he was God Almighty, he took a different approach. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. A bondservant. I always do what pleases the Father. Why? Because he loves the Father, and the Father loves the Son. I love God. And I was like, what, really? Well, no, not at all for my flesh. In the spirit, all the time. Here the Lord is just saying, hey, kid, I'm showing you the good stuff. The joy, all you got to do is let it happen. We'll get there in a moment. But before we can let it happen, we really have to determine, is it happening? Is there a deception? Well, is it how much on when people look? Well, we show up and we hang out with one another and we eat, you know, and talk about the things we like to talk about. But where's the undeniable love of God? And I'm not saying that it isn't there. I'm simply saying this is what Jesus puts forth at the end of the teaching on abide. And, well, what I think the Lord put us on the hook to say is, hey, don't go beyond this point, right? Thinking that we're all that if others aren't at least even with you and often preferred above you as you think you're abiding. Because the simple truth is, it's not abiding. It's us doing our best impression of it or giving whatever effort to it. When our brethren said a close continuous relationship is the culmination, that's where the Lord will get us. And brothers and sisters, I think, especially during the announcements, that what is being shown is it sure seems like there's not a lot of time left to do this. There's the amount of time that's perfect, but the Father has directed us to this. He's just simply said it in total clarity. Now, this is the part you've heard me say before. When we as Christians, because it doesn't really apply to other than Christians, because the natural man does not receive the things of God, right? Somebody says something, or we see the things that are so common in church practice that are not scriptural. I ask this question, well, I think I'm going to go and do this. And I'll ask this question, how is everybody else going to be better off by that? To this day, I know that I've asked that question dozens of times. People, I'm going to go, you know, leave church or whatever it might be, right? How is everybody else going to be better off by that? I've yet to get an answer. Here's why, according to Jesus, right? You find it in the Gospel of John chapter 5. But Jesus is confronting other people with the truth because he is the Word of God. He always speaks the truth, of course. And he said to them, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. That's the relationship with, well, the flesh and the truths of God that cost the flesh something. The flesh is happy to get on board with anything that seems good to the flesh. Yeah, I want you guys to love me. I'm into that. You should prefer me better, but flip it. No, I'm just going to go do what I want to do. What if we let Jesus have his way? That's the command. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a drag, man. I've tried it. See, that's another thing. No, it isn't. That my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. It's not something we have to make happen. It's something that we can't make happen. It's something that's there. The Lord is just saying, just let me go. You're going to like this more than you can even conceive of. And as we've talked about in previous studies, you don't know it unless you're living it. We've seen it all in a little bit. We've all tasted and seen where Jesus has told Paul, and Paul quoted to the Ephesian elders, the Lord himself said it's more blessed to give than receive. That's what the Lord has in mind 24/7, right? Continual, unbroken fellowship that's joyful. We've all seen a little bit of joy, but abiding is the key to continuous joyful fellowship. Now, We have to close up in a certain place, but I want to turn back here to the 26th chapter and look at another aspect. That one word, we've seen evidence at close to the top of page 160, the first paragraph after the scriptures. For the Christian who wants perfect fellowship, well, right now there's the word want. Well, I want it, but it's like, okay, do I aspire to it? Am I letting the Lord do it? This is the question. Well, I think so. How do I know? Here's the word that he used. Keeping this commandment, that commandment in John 15, as I've loved you, love one another. Well, what's that look like? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Laying down my life. Let's just think about that for a moment. Laying down my life. None of us have taken a bullet for another brother or sister, at least a lethal one. I don't know if you've been shot. I don't think anybody here has. But you know what I'm saying. Not like Jesus laid down his life. Nobody here has. Other brothers and sisters have, and some of us might. But yet, this applies to all of us all the time. And it's simply what we've already looked at. It's preferring others is more important than ourselves. Well, what do I want to do? A question that Jesus never asked himself, apart from the will of the Father. What did I want to do in Jesus' case was exactly what the Father wants to do. The language is so important. Well, what do you think about this? Not a good question. What does the Lord say about this? What do you want to do today? We have some extra time. Well, no, we all have the amount of time the Lord gives. What does he want us to do? One thing, this is so hard. And all of us have known the hardness. But what the Lord invites us to and calls us to is, well, it's only hard when you do it. Not understanding this and continuing to practice this is going to leave us in, well, a bad place. First off, this word that we looked at. Our brother said, keeping this commandment is proof that we are abiding in him. So we can ask ourselves, if we've got the courage that the Lord has given us, Father, what do you see? Would you help me evaluate my life? And the Lord's only going to show us what is necessary. It's like, how much of your time, Father, do I spend asking you about the other people and how these actions might benefit them? The Lord's got us factored in, right? I mean, we do individual Bible study, but somehow becoming the church he wants us to be, not the one he'll let us be, is all of us being one body, one accord, individual parts working together, completely necessary. One's suffering, we're all suffering. One's not here, we're incomplete. That is what he's growing us into. And that is part of loving one another. It's no different than, well, there's a nasty cut and an infection in this hand. Well, I'm sure glad it's not me, says this hand. No, it is me. Listen, this is infected. I've got to address this. You see, love, as the Lord explains it, even involves having the hard conversations, as he used his servant to explain it to a very carnal church in what we know as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 especially. We're told that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. In Ephesians, God tells us, for the church, whose purpose is to grow us to be just like Jesus, the language is used, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we speak the truth in love. So now there's a moment just here at the end of this passage to say, hey, well, am I good on this? Well, here's the acid test, if you will. Are you preferring in practical ways, in your thoughts, in your speech, in your actions, in whatever the Lord directs others, even more important than yourself? If not, we have to question, how much have we gotten out of the abiding study to this point? Now, don't despair for two reasons. First off, coming up, there's like closing instructions here. Next week, heads up as you prayerfully consider these things, if you look at the chapter, that we may not sin. I've just got a couple study questions. We're not quite done yet, but I do want to introduce it at this time. What is sin? Oh, it's missing the mark. Great. It's hamartia. We know the Greek word. Great. Yes, right and good. But it's anything that's apart from God's will. So let me ask this group at this time, if you've been in the study with us, this question. Don't shout out the answer. But is not abiding sin? Well, I don't know. Does Jesus want us to abide? It's not like he commands us to abide. Well, abide in me. I love what we discussed in earlier sections in our study. For an abiding Christian, there's no difference between his commands or promises or anything that reveals God's will. It's just like, this is what God wants. This is the good way. This is what I want to do. So when Jesus says in John 15, abide in me over and over, it's a command. It's a promise. It's yes. It's everything. So if that's what he wants, that's his directing. And it's for me to do it, for me who know to do good and do not do it, that's yes. Yes, it is. So now it really comes home. So Todd, how's the abiding going? Well, I think it's really good. I've been 26 weeks into this study. Okay, let's check it out. How's your love for others? It's in there somewhat. Is it in there as much as your love for self? Is it greater than that? No, actually it isn't. Well, I guess there's a little bit of work to rehab when it comes to proof. And you think about this in, I'd say the church at large, but it really can only apply to us because we only have impact right now on this fellowship. And I think if we allow the Lord to have his way, we have the greatest witness and impact to other churches. How much that just isn't evident as it was in the church in the beginning. But this is what the Lord is saying. Hey, we're getting close. The wedding chorus is rehearsing. I think we can almost hear it. Is the bride ready to be presented? Brothers and sisters, that's how important this is. I hope to all of us, that's how important it is to the Father. It's by our love for one another. Now let's get to the good part as we close up here this morning. The word let, allow it, resting in Jesus. In our study by means of a review, our brother said this, the blessings of abiding can only be found in a close relationship. And he also used the word by resting in Jesus. The good word again is this hard for us thing that all of us have come short in our flesh we only can is something that is effortless for the Lord and joyful for him and you. And it's his work if we'll let him. It is a fruit. Time for me to put up here. I said love is a fruit. Right? Love is something the Lord does. It's a result. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. I should have had us keep a marker in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4. Now, please, this, your flesh is going to hate this passage. And there's several in 1 John. But let me tell you this. It's God's word. God loves it. I think your spirit will rejoice. It will rejoice in the fact that God loves us enough to tell the truth. 1 John chapter 4, I'm jumping right to the verse 20. The Lord says, if someone, it could be anybody, says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Right? What? So in other words, it's like, no, I love the Lord, but I don't want anything to do with that brother or that sister. That's not possible. Right? Because the love that God produces, a love for him, and it's a love for others. He said, no, it's a liar. It just simply doesn't work that way. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, right? It's like, there's no way. If you're loving God, you're loving people. Now, getting to that is going to be so important. Let me give us another clear scriptural passage from 1 John. Go back to the left, please, to the book of Galatians. It's Galatians chapter 5. And we already referenced it a little bit earlier. Those two natures of the Christian, they're in constant opposition. They have nothing to do with each other. And for the Christian, you're either living in one or the other. It's not a little of one or the other, right? So let's pick it up at that verse, Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. That you was to the spiritual being there. It's like if the flesh wasn't here, you, the born-again person, you'd be doing what you and God wanted all the time. But there's the flesh. Now, by contrast, the Lord listed some of the clear evidences of the old nature, what we know as the flesh or the old man, coming up here. But I want to jump down here to verse 22. By contrast, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit, the evidence of when a Christian is yielded to that let of 1 Corinthians 10:24 or Philippians 2, let God just have his way, rest, stop doing your own works, let God take over and produce everything. That's the fruit. It's just like the branch abiding in the vine. It's the life of the vine producing the fruit. That's verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, there it is, love. The kind of love that God wants. Love for God and love for others. And then, notice the next one, joy. That my joy would remain in you and your joy would be full. So just if we just stay there right there, we say, wow, this is fantabulous. God is going to do this. We need to know a little bit more. And it really comes down to two things here. First, we have to recognize, is there a need for this? Jesus said, hey, by this, all people are going to know you're my disciples. Here's my commandment. You love them like I loved you, considering them more important. Okay, so we know we haven't always been there. And you know what? Some people are just hard to love. Well, let's look at this as we close this morning, where we began. In John chapter 15, coming at this yet in another way to what the Lord so clearly brought out Wednesday. Have you heard the expression, putting the cart before the horse? Anybody? What does that mean in practical terms? It's a metaphor. Putting the cart before the horse is a description saying, hey, you're doing things out of the proper order. First things first. This has to come before that. Let me give you the incorrect order. If we come at loving or any of these things mentioned in the second part as, okay, this is how we do it. Love is so important. I haven't been doing it. I guess I need to try harder. I need to study a little bit more. We probably have gotten enough study already. I just got to go out there and apply myself, aspire. I heard you use that word. No, that's getting the cart before the horse, right? That's you doing it. That's the flesh. And you're going to be able to do some of it for a while, but it's not going to be joyful. You're going to find that hard to love person. And Jesus makes no exceptions. He didn't say, you know, just love the ones you like. None of us but the Lord will know how hard it was for him to be who he was to, well, the people who treated him poorly. Actually, for him, it probably wasn't hard because God is love. He was just being who he was. So as we contemplate the fruitfulness, I want to point something out to you. In chapter 15, for the first 8 verses, that's where I see the distinction. Jesus is really primarily just saying one thing. Stay in me. Abide in me. And then for the next set of verses, all the things that are going to happen, they're fruits. When we abide in Jesus, this is what he produces. If we get down here to the make yourself happy and be more loving, no, that's religion. That's not going to work. But as an evidence that we are in him, wow, Todd, you just seem happier more of the time. And you're kinder to other people. You seem to prefer them. And there's tests that happen. With one exception. And we covered this earlier in our study. Of all the things that were mentioned one thing is both a fruit and the means of entering into the relationship with the Lord, of letting it happen. And that's prayer. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll ask these, and it'll be done for you, right? So this is probably the one thing you need to know. Don't think of it as a works program. Think of it as what the Lord says. This is how you access everything that I have. This is how you let me do it. You have to ask. Jesus said, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. If by anything that I've said, and we didn't dwell very long on the love as kind of an examination period, you're thinking, you know, I'm not sure that the evidence of me continually abiding is everything the Lord could do and would like it to be. Here's what you need to do. If you're thinking, it's like, you know, when you said some people are hard to love, it's easy when I'm with my friends and we like the same things, but the other people, I don't have much joy. I'll do it, but I grit my teeth and I give God the glory. You know, that's not wrong either, by the way, but the evidence is, no, when I let him do it, it's not like that. That's what the Lord is saying. There's one thing you need to do. You need to ask, right? Simple prayer. I mean, it's even, we talked about, how much do I pray for? How much do I even ask him, or do I just continue my own way? Father, I can't produce the kind of relationship that you want and made possible, but Lord, would you? Father, I'm asking you for the kind of love towards you that will also show up towards others. And there's nothing I have to offer here. It's not by our works. That simple prayer of faith will begin to change all of us in a profound way. How much have we been praying? Lord, we not only want to learn about abiding, but we want to be abiding the way you want us to be. So it'll be clearly evident. The proof is in our sacrificial love towards you and others. Father, I'm not there yet, but would you please make that a reality? I've got to ask a question. When we pray like that, do you think the Lord might do that? Is there any doubt? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, abide in me, abide in my love. I command you, you love one another. Clearly, he wants it. Clearly, we can't do it. One thing, a prayer of faith. Now, I believe the Lord has pointed these things out to me and put the evidence on the passage with proof and evidence and the difference between wanting and it actually happening that we would evaluate, because these next chapters coming up, if we miss this, we go on into deception and it's not good. But the Lord hasn't prepared us for that. He's prepared us to take a loving look at him, ourselves, and others. Not to rejoice in iniquity, but to rejoice in truth. And to be prepared by him to help others. Speaking the truth in love. God says, we grow up into him, the head, Jesus, to become like him. So as we close, if it isn't clear, let me try to make it, or allow the Lord to make it. I believe our Father is saying, we have to hear what he's saying by our love for one another. If we're not clear of what that looks like, all we have to do is ask him. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to take us right back to the appropriate passages. Now, we could have easily given that list, but the truth is, our flesh won't hear it. It'll sit there and it'll endure even a long teaching with a lot of scripture, but it won't hear that. The flesh will not surrender its throne. That's why God had to kill it. Right? And the Holy Spirit will keep the flesh in that position. All we have to do is to turn to him in faith. He's given us the single, I believe, and he makes it clear, most important evidence. By our love for one another, everybody's going to know. So here's what we need to do. Whatever standard we're using, please throw it away unless you know it's the Lord's, and join together with me. And I encourage you as he leads you, for me, as I do for you in prayer, to petition, to ask the Lord that he makes this real. I asked at the beginning, why do we study abiding? It's in order that we abide. Why do we abide? That he would be glorified. How is he glorified? By much fruit. What is the chief fruit? Love for him and for one another. Let's pray, Father, just to thank you. Lord, I thank you for more than I even know for who you are, of course. I love it, Lord, that you love us enough to tell us the truth. Because when you do, Father, you are so kind to us. You don't condemn. Father, and correction is just a sign of your love for us. And Father, I truly don't know about anyone but myself if you do not show me, and I know it's true for all of us, but I can say this before you, Lord, that for every hour of your day, there's not a perfect witness of abiding. And that's what abiding is, Lord. That's the path that you're leading us onto. So I want to come before you with and for my brothers and sisters in faith. First off, Father, for your good pleasure, for your sake, for your glory, and to simply ask, Lord, if we don't already understand the difference between your love and the love of the world, would you show that to us in very real ways? I thank you for the fact that you will. Father, will you take us in the quickest, most merciful route to get us from where we are to where you want us to be? By your generous spirit, Lord, would you remind us of the things that you have previously taught us, in, especially in this study, as, Father, you have been doing with me as we're approaching the end. Lord, you impress upon me now what you taught me a long time ago. The most important part of the race is the finish line. And we only have these five more teachings, Lord, on this subject. And this is the foundation of everything that you want to do and will do to produce the fruit, to bring glory to yourself, to bring joy to your children, and to bring the fullness of our love for you and one another to pass. Father, we ask you do it, and I would also ask that you speak personally to us about any and every situation that's necessary, as we just rest in you, and now, Lord, rejoice in you, that you would be glorified in our hearts and in the assembly. We ask and thank you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there a last